Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
How you doing over there?
Just lip syncing to Johnny Mathis. How you doing over there?
Somebody's having a moment.
Can you leave the room for just a second?
I felt rude being here.
Really?
You were savoring.
I was
Johnny
savoring.
Mathis.
Oh man.
Like
if he came in food form.
He'd be like a delicious Werther's.
Like a big bowl of Johnny Mathis.
I don't want just a taste. I want the whole bowl.
Which reminds me, Shannon and I had to run some errands yesterday afternoon. We were in, kind of Med-Q part of town and near Kathy's Pies. Mm. And out of the blue, she's like, let's
go get a pie?
Yes!
It's like, I know exactly where this story's
when
headed.
When is the last time you knee-jerk bought a pie?
Never. I mean, no. Like, I think in college.
In college?
When my metabolism was a little bit better.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be like, okay, well, we finished rehearsal or something. Let's go out and, let's just get pie then at the end of
you know,
the
that,
meal.
That's a good point. To go buy a pie at a grocery store, unless it's a holiday.
Yeah.
Is foreign. Like, why would I do that? I don't think I can conceive of that.
No.
You just don't. You don't think pie.
But wait, you got a whole pie?
Yeah. We got like Mississippi goo, cheesecake at the bottom.
Oh my.
Pecan, chocolate, silk on top.
Did you please?
It's fantastic.
Don't tell me that you brought this up and didn't bring me any.
Well, I didn't today.
But now that I mentioned it.
We're road tripping tomorrow. There might be car pie.
A pie?
Car pie.
For the a road trip.
Road trip pie.
A road trip and you're bringing pie.
Why not?
Oh, wow. I've never, because plates and forks and such.
Or we'll just cut it in a way that we can have toothpicks.
Is it the kind of pie that holds its shape?
Right now it is. It's doing quite well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that it's fresh.
It's, and we've kept it in the fridge, so it's cool. So it's hardened just a tad. So I'm thinking car pie. You good with that?
Am I good with it?
You good with that?
I'm already salivating.
Let's propose this, because I believe you guys, it's your turn to drive.
Yeah.
Do you want to sit in the back with us?
Yes, I do.
There you go.
Three in the back eating car pie.
Yes.
And then the poor driver, my husband, will just, you know, you can have some car pie when
we get there.
We
will get to
there.
The DeKalb Oasis, sir. And that is where you can have car pie. But until then, no car pie for you.
I'll pump the gas and you can enjoy some car pie.
Whoa, yeah. That's great.
We've got a plan.
Strategic.
Just got to get everybody on board.
That was just the weirdest. Shannon's like, let's go get a pie. Like, where did that come from? She
now,
was just in the mood
if
for
she
pie.
Was not, would you have suggested it? Because it sounds like she made the decision. She's driving the bus on that one.
100%. No. Those are stores like that. I might pop in like, I'll get a slice or a cookie or a bake or something.
Yeah.
But pie to me is a special occasion dessert.
Absolutely.
Or is attached to a very specific event dessert.
But I love that you're like, it's Wednesday.
Wednesday
get
pie.
A pie.
And we did.
That's
and
beautiful.
It was delicious.
What a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I know.
I'm
we
so
had a
proud
baked
of you.
Potato bar last night and pie.
There was a bar?
A bar of baked potatoes. We did have wine too. It was a lovely evening.
I want to be an adult at the Hanson
you
house.
You should come over.
My goodness, that sounds phenomenal.
While watching TV sitting on the couch.
Stop it.
That's
okay.
How we dined
that
last
was
night.
My next question. Please tell me you were dining on the couch.
Every night we
potatoes,
dine on the couch.
Cheese.
Bacon.
Oh!
Broccoli.
And then there was pie.
She coated the big russets with salt and a little olive oil blend.
That is the best way.
We actually straight baked them. We didn't just throw them in the microwave. We baked the potatoes.
She took some time.
Yeah. Fluff it up with a fork.
Respect.
Had some of that good Irish butter.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know. We ate like kings and queens last night.
I'm getting the sweats from food envy. My goodness.
Someday. Well, hey, you're hanging with us this weekend, so there'll be plenty of, there'll be so much food consumed.
Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways.
We got a 4.5-hour car ride.
You know
for
what?
All that information.
I'm just going to fast all day today, so
might want to save some space.
Get ready. Get ready. And you don't have, you've got like you selected your license plate. You did the black and white license plate.
Yeah,
thing.
Once that black plate came out, we have a black car. It looks great.
So many people did, right? Yeah. But Have you ever had a vanity plate?
When we lived in St. Louis, I had a vanity. Shannon had one and I had one, yeah.
Okay, wait. What did they say?
Mine was, God, I was trying to be so witty and it was so stupid. We were Cardinal fans, so you can get the Cardinal plate. And so I put four fowl because I'm four of the birds. I thought it was brilliant.
Did you do O-W-L or O-U-L?
I did O-W-L for all birds.
So you stand for all. Well, I mean, that
Shannon
includes.
Shannon had H-M-B fossil for a while here in Iowa. And then
makes
we,
sense.
Yes. Then we did it again in Missouri. So, yeah, we've done vanity before.
You've done it before. Uh-huh. Only 14% of people say that they have one as of right now, which surprises me. I feel like I'm sitting in traffic and I see them all the time.
You were seeing the 14%.
Yes.
I think more people would do it, but the ones that come to mind, like around here, it's going to be Hawkeye related.
Yes.
And there's so many, there are only so many ways of saying Hawkeye with eight letters.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I saw somebody's license plate yesterday and it was Hawks. Everybody wants Hawks, mm-hmm. right? But here's how they had to spell it. H-A-W-X-X-X.
Whoa.
Which I thought seemed a little racy.
Whoa.
It, like, that's a little spicy. Like, I love the Hawkeyes too, but what?
HWX would have accomplished it.
Yes, but I think
that's
already taken.
Yeah.
I'll just do
that's a low number.
H-A-W-X.
And also, that's somebody, I want to know more about that person, right?
Well, life was good.
I should introduce that person to yesterday's calendar.
They might approve.
Be something they want to talk about.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
Before we get into the ingredient list of your coffee beverage.
Oh, come on. That's fascinating stuff.
I just want to quickly acknowledge a scary moment on 380 southbound driving in this morning.
Uh-oh.
There was a fool driving with no lights on.
What?
None. They had their car. I don't know if the lights didn't work. I didn't see them coming up, save for the glare of the light, the street light on their vehicle. Otherwise, like, they were driving in the dark.
Were they on the run?
That's on the run at 4:30 in the morning. I don't know. It was a Georgia plate. Ooh. It was a minivan. And I was in front of them. So I'm like, there's no way for me to indicate to that person their lights are
off.
Yeah,
what do you do? Well, after, did they pass you or they stayed?
They never passed me. Oh. They also went a little bit under the speed limit. It was the sketchiest thing in the
world.
Wouldn't
you if you didn't have your headlights on?
Why aren't your, now maybe, how, maybe you're driving in a condition you shouldn't be driving and you just don't know. Mm-hmm. There's decent amount of light coming off of the purple lights on the interstate.
But to get to the interstate, you'd have to go through some darkness?
You would think so. By the time you got to south of the airport,
yeah.
380 southbound, it gets dark.
Huh.
So hopefully that person figured it out. But that was just a little concerning.
That's very concerning.
Because they came on an on-ramp, and again, I thought I saw movement, but you're trained to look for light. Nothing was there. And then that entire ride, so easily 2 to 3 miles from that entrance exit until I got off to come to work, no lights were turned on. And cars were passing him. It's just.
Your PSA, he's out there.
Now he's way south. If he kept going south, watch out, Henry County.
Watch out. You just watch
Missouri,
out.
He's coming for you. If he's driving all the way to Georgia with no lights on. I swear it's a Georgia plate.
Yeah. So he's probably going to Georgia.
That's my best guess.
Just go for it.
Rainy night in Georgia.
Huh.
Nights, this is the day the lights went out in Georgia is on that road.
Oh my gosh.
Be careful. Yeah. That's just, I know isn't it second nature? You get in the car. Mine is set to automatic, but some cars don't do that. You have to turn the dial on.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, drive with the lights on, man.
Turn them on. And once you get in, you know. Right? You know, I can't.
You know!
I can't see where the air conditioner is.
Yes.
I can't see where the switch is.
And going into tonight, tomorrow, rain, wipers on, lights on. Even if it's daytime. Much appreciated.
That's good PSA.
There you go.
Yeah.
Take it from a guy who drives all the time.
Well, that's wisdom right there.
Thank you.
I don't know if what I did this week
was wise,
but I don't know if admitting to it is wise either. But I had a package and there was something on my doorstep, so I just opened it.
Was it addressed to you?
Turns out it wasn't. But it was addressed to my husband. So it's okay, right?
No, did you realize if I opened every package addressed to Shannon Hansen that came to my house?
I
would be in so much trouble.
I ordered a book for my daughter. I was very excited to get it. And
did it feel about book weight?
No.
I'm trying to help you out here.
I mean, I wasn't thinking. So okay. I ripped it open.
Snoopy,
and I was like, oh,
Snooperston?
That's not my book I was looking for.
What was it?
It was a box of something. It was just, the box just said it was the good stuff. So I just put it on the counter and didn't think too much about it. But the box has been sitting there and it got moved over by our coffee pot. And then I read a little bit more about it. And the good stuff is for wellness.
Okay.
And it just goes right in your coffee. Make your morning brew, add one stick of the good stuff, and then enjoy your coffee.
So it's a supplement.
It's a supplement.
Is it Vitamans?
It's Vitamans. My husband's been using it, and I was like, well, I've got one of those like funny bumps on my tongue.
Yeah.
And my mom told me that if you get one of those, you don't have enough vitamins.
Really?
Is that true?
I don't know. I've never heard. First of all, what's a funny bump?
Like one of your taste buds is like, ow.
Maybe it burned your taste bud. I don't think that's lack of vitamins. Probably
really?
Hot pizza.
I'm just realizing as I'm saying it out loud now that might have been like a lie a parent tells a child.
You called them sugar bugs the other day when they get on your teeth, and now you're talking about tongue funny bumps?
Funny. It's a funny bump.
Funny bumps?
But it's not funny because it hurts. Like an impacted taste bud?
Maybe an ingrown taste bud?
Anyways.
Is that a thing?
I needed vitamins, so I grabbed a little stick of the good stuff. Something I have no idea what it is. I put it in my coffee and it's delicious. It's kind of like got a cinnamony. Like,
oh, it's flavored?
Flavor.
Because those always worry me. Like mix in fiber or mix in. Shannon's into some powder right now.
Yes.
And like, I bet that just tastes like
the
straight
mushroom
up.
Mushroom coffee.
Is that kale?
Yes.
Yeah.
This
tastes like cinnamon?
This tastes like cinnamon.
What's
it tastes
in
really
it?
Good. I don't know. It says that it's like, it's got creamer, you know, all the things you'd expect that would go well with coffee. A little bit of cinnamon, a little different kind of cinnamon. And then I got to one of the last things, which was that it contains bovine collagen.
It has cow in it.
bovine Himalayan pink salt. Which is nice.
The Himalayan pink salt's fantastic. Go back to the other ingredient. Bovine collagen?
Bovine collagen? I'm drinking cow?
You and your husband are both drinking cow.
Is that how I...
How many days you been on this thing?
Two.
Okay, you see me in a week. The Eastern Airport has adjusted times for TSA checkpoint lanes starting this morning because of spring break travelers. I was seeing United Airlines projecting this to be one of the busiest spring breaks of all time.
Whoa.
The TSA this morning and for tomorrow, Saturday, and then the following Monday will be opening at 3:15 in the morning. Yes.
Wow.
Also, if you don't fly often or... you got some little ones with you. A couple things to keep in mind. Things like you can't have bottled water, right? On one side of security, you got to get rid of it. You can buy it on the other side. So they're double check the things you can and can't take through with you. And Cedar Rapids is actually pretty advanced. You don't need to show your boarding pass anymore. It's just your ID. It's slick.
Yeah.
Just put it in the little machine. It
goes fast.
The system knows you're traveling that day anyway. So they do ask that you have your ID ready to go. That just makes that line go a little bit faster. But expect some lines over the next couple days.
There's going to be a lot of people.
We'll be traveling for spring break. Let's get you some sports shorts. Getting lost in the shadows of this basketball season due to the supernova power of Caitlin Clark, Cyclone men's basketball. They were losing to BYU last night, turned around and won. They went undefeated this year at Hilton Coliseum.
Wow.
18-0 at Hilton.
Hilton Magic.
Hilton Magic all the way. I believe they got one more big 12 game against Kansas State, and then they'll get into the men's basketball tournament coming up for the Big 12.
That's exciting.
Then one of the games we were watching, sometimes they'll run like the betting lines along the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
They're like number six, number eight in the country. They're a very good team. There's potential they make it to the Final Four. Yes.
I should listen when my dad is talking.
He apparently has been telling you this already.
He's been telling me this.
Pay attention to your father. Listen to your father, Claire. I got one more. Sports shorts. I can't do sports shorts without a Caitlin Clark story.
No, you cannot.
I don't know when, but at some point, Caitlin Clark will be on Good Morning America today.
Just keep looking. It's not even time yet.
You know what?
When Good Morning America is on, and it's not on yet.
You also know the channel is not on yet. We have the different station on.
That's why I was checking.
Okay. Got to do both. They teased it a little bit last night on ABC News. Robin Roberts, I don't know if it was on the game on Sunday or at some point flew in, did an interview with Clark, And they're going to have that as part of a special Good Morning America this morning.
What?
Yesterday, we were watching CBS this morning, and they had the shirts, the black
yes.
and white Caitlin Clark shirts from Nike. So it is, this is a nationwide phenomenon.
This is so cool
you
to
are
watch.
Living in a moment right now in Eastern Iowa. What's got us feeling all right? Cedar Rapids Park and Recreation announcing that garden plots at multiple parks will be open for renters. Leases will be handed out on Tuesday, March the 12th. They have added Lincoln Way Park off of J Street Southwest, 20 new garden plots.
Oh, wow.
And you have got 4 ADA raised garden tanks available to rent for the first time.
Raised
garden. Yes.
I love a raised garden bed.
Now, the one I know, just because I'll drive by it occasionally, is the one off of Ellis.
Yes.
The Robbins Lake.
But is that going to be impacted by the construction?
It doesn't leak into that area because
okay,
that bridge is under construction.
Yeah.
Probably slow going getting there. But Tuma Park has them. Sinclair has them.
I didn't know that.
Gardner Golf Course also offers. So you got 418 and then plus another 24 at Lincoln Way Park off J Street. If you need rental prices, rules, regs, other information, contact the Cedar Rapids Park and Rec Department. It's
how cool.
Plot planting season. With Parks and Rec in Cedar Rapids. That's got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
The armorer on the set of the movie Rust, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, has been found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in her trial over the accidental shooting on the set of the film. The jury deliberated for less than 3 hours before reaching that verdict. She was also charged with tampering with evidence, but she was acquitted of that charge. She could face up to 18 months in prison once she is sentenced.
I was hearing stories like she was hungover, potentially still like, I don't know how hungover from high works, but like lingering marijuana
right.
use.
Right. And you are the safety person on that set. That's
you're determining great. What bullets are bullets and what are fakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's just bad.
And the fact that this even happened, right? It should never have
no.
happened. And that was your job. So it was a quick deliberation and they came to that conclusion. We'll see what happens with Alec Baldwin. Forbes released their list of the highest paid actors for 2023. And it's interesting to me that the number one person didn't have a single movie in movie theaters.
I was going to say like Ryan Gosling.
You know what? He did make the list. He tied for fourth place
okay.
with Matt Damon, $43 million.
But they had movies out.
Had movies
Wait,
out.
So the number one person didn't have a movie at the box office.
Yes, and to be fair, this year they took out all of like endorsements or any non-entertainment things. This is all just for your acting.
Hollywood contracts,
just acting. So like The Rock's WWE stuff is
oh,
a
yeah.
factor in there. Ryan Reynolds and his
aviation,
mobile,
yeah.
aviation gin.
Yep.
All the other things that he has going on that aren't acting don't count. The number one person is Adam Sandler.
Get out of here.
$73 million, and that's all thanks to a deal he made with Netflix. Not a single movie hit theaters, but they're all streaming.
Like Hubie Halloween.
Yeah, it's such fine films as. But you know what? I did see a little thing for his the astronaut movie, and that looks kind of interesting.
He's found a home.
He's
and
a
he's got an
actor.
Audience that will follow him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I mean, good for him.
Yeah. Margot Robbie just below him for the Barbie movie.
That makes total sense.
$59 million for her raked in 2023. And then Tom Cruise, $45
million. He had a Mission Impossible last year, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good year. A very good year.
Yes.
Yes.
Jennifer Aniston is then sixth. But
she's in a lot of those Adam Sandler movies.
You know what? Huh.
Those seem to tie in together.
A little bit of a bump. And there's a new article. Variety magazine did a profile on John Williams, the famous composer, has won so many Oscars because he's responsible for the music of the movies, like, you know, Star Wars and Harry Potter and Jaws themes, just like classic, iconic film scores. And in the article, they talked to several different people. And one of the people they spoke to was Harrison Ford. And Harrison Ford revealed how inescapable John Williams' music is for him because John Williams also did the Indiana Jones theme. And the Indiana Jones theme is the last thing Harrison Ford heard when he was undergoing his last colonoscopy.
No, come on.
Yes, he's like, they were playing it in the operating room speakers. Like, I don't know if they thought that was going to be a helpful thing for him, But it was weird.
That's weird.
That's very strange. You know, it's that music, though, but it would psych you up. You know, it's an epic journey.
That's true.
And you are about to do
you
something.
You are going exploring if you catch my drift.
Another story told in this little article is from John Williams himself. He had to work on all of the music for Star Wars. So there's the iconic theme. And you know it when you hear it,
exactly.
Right? But then he had to do themes for everybody. So he's got, you know, the Darth Vader. Bah, bah, bah. Yes.
That's him.
Yep. He did that. He also does the theme for Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker, which he said is a little bit more tender, right?
It's very tender,
yes. The feeling of this, it's like soft and romantic. Well, it was a mistake that he wrote it to be a romantic song because he later learned that they were brother and sister. But he did not know that when he wrote it for the first movie.
I don't think the guy who wrote the movie knew that in the first movie. Let's be fair.
To be fair, he's like, George never told us there was going to be a second film, nor that they were going to be brother and sister. So
that now makes this song a little cringy, right? Just a little cringy.
Makes him cringe too. We're all cringing. Ugh. That's what we like to call
Z's. Sleaze.
We need babies to shake their things. Come on, baby. Shake that thing.
We need actual
shake
babies.
Shake that thing.
Real babies. We're trying to up the cute factor in our Sapanapaso parade entry. The Z102.9 marching band is going to be part of the Z102.9 entry. We're working on the band, but we thought, you know, it would be great if we had a hook. Last year, we had a bunch of lazy boys on a flatbed trailer. Yeah. That was our hook. This year, we need to catch the eyes of the judges. Show them what's up.
Well, we have a baby of honor that's locked in and ready to go.
We have our baby, yes. Charlotte, the Morning Scramble, Blue, will be leading the band.
She's going to be our baby band leader.
Mm.
But why not? It's like when you have one, have 1,000.
Why stop at one?
Yes, go big, man.
Yes, just do it.
Just grow it.
We thought the babies in strollers could serve as a sort of color guard.
Exactly.
Maybe the moms and dads could come up with like a stroller dance.
I would like to see a little choreography with the strollers. That would be a ton of fun.
That'd be great.
Now, all you need to do is to confirm you're available on St. Patrick's Day. You're giving us about 2 hours of your afternoon. You and the color guard probably can show up even a little bit later.
Sure.
About noon 30.
Yeah, whenever nap time's done.
Yeah,
or
good point.
Leave them nap in the stroller?
Leave them in the car.
That's
and then,
fine.
Well, don't leave them in the car.
That's no!
Horrible, horrible recommendation. Hang out in the car and then grab baby, grab stroller. Join us. Weather looks like it's going to be great. We're going to put you just like think of the bands you saw during the Rose Bowl parade. That color guard's always in the front, kind of setting the stage from the razzle-dazzle standpoint. And then we'll have the band behind you. And then we will have another great entry for Sapanapaso 2024.
Yeah. All we need is your assistance.
We just need your baby, really.
If you and your baby and a stroller could join us at the front of our parade entry, we would be so thrilled. If you want to say, hey, you know, I got some time. I got a baby. Please, just email us. It's so simple.
Scramble@KZIA.com.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B102.9.
All of this talk about Sapanapaso, which is coming up on St. Patrick's Day. We're recruiting babies.
Yes.
We're recruiting band members.
Adult band members.
Yes. Adult band members. Baby babies.
Baby babies. Well, they're parents.
We need both because we want you to push your baby in a stroller.
Yeah.
Scramble@KZIA.com. There's a key cog to the Morning Scramble who will not be participating in Sapanapaso. And we both know it, and we've been staring at this for 2 weeks.
Yeah, but it's like you kind of like put it to the side, and like that's a problem I'll worry about later.
I didn't realize, producer Ben, while we're getting all of that ready, I believe that day he flies to, producer Ben's headed to Vegas.
You know, we approved this trip, producer Ben, and I didn't realize you're going to Vegas on St. Patrick's Day, the day of luck.
The parade sounds like fun, but
does Vegas.
Hopefully I'll have more fun in Vegas.
You will. I've been to Vegas on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, you have?
It's a hoot.
I bet.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
They have a big Irish district.
All of Vegas is an Irish district.
That's crazy. They're all Irish for a day?
Are you leaving on that morning on St. Patrick's Day or the day before?
That morning.
That morning. So he's out on the 17th. And then how long are you down there?
I get back the 20th.
Okay.
Don't forget to wear green.
Yeah.
And all the, you know,
well,
the packing.
They also will pinch you on Vegas no matter the day. Sometimes it costs extra. It just depends on who's doing the pinching.
Special pinches.
Have you been to Vegas before?
I've been there a few times.
What is your go-to? Are you just like, go find a slot machine and let them bring you free drinks? Or do you like to walk the strip? Or what? There's different ways to do Vegas.
I know, but that doesn't strike me as a sit and park kind of guy.
Because he's so active? Is
that why? No, you're right. He's usually sitting parked in the little booth behind
for
you.
For 4 hours, he's sitting parked here.
Maybe,
as far as
okay.
he knows, he's playing
Answer
slots on the computer.
Answer the question, Ben. Do you sit and park?
I usually just spend time walking through the hotels and stuff.
It's just, you could just walk anywhere. Yeah. It's people watching is so fun in
Tons
Vegas.
Tons to see.
Yeah.
So you got a plan?
Yeah, you got a itinerary?
Not yeah, I'm kind of working on
He's
that.
He's working on the itinerary.
Would you like us to help you?
Yes.
Time out. How many times have you been to Vegas?
Once.
You've been one time?
Yeah, I didn't really care for it.
Ben, would you like me to help you Vegas?
Yeah.
I have hosted a bachelor party in Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
I probably have been there most recently of the three of us. We went 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Caught a show right before they did like the big NFL Pro Bowl down in Vegas. So I got my tricks and certain treasures.
You're Mr. Travel, yeah.
I am Mr. Travel.
Yeah.
I think you can bring some stuff to the table too, Claire.
Well,
as well.
I'm no stranger to a buffet.
Good point.
I can help you.
Okay, maybe there's an opportunity here to Vegas Ben up a little bit.
We can build him up and make sure that he has the best trip ever.
That's a good, I mean, because you're going to be missing all the fun here.
Yeah, so it better be worth it, Ben.
Yes, but if we could kind of, once he gets the itinerary figured out, mm-hmm. maybe kind of infiltrate the day.
And guide.
Guide
yes.
the day.
So like, even though he's not with us, it's almost like we're still present with him.
I feel like it's our job when you're leaving, anytime you leave the nest.
Yeah.
I want you to be ready to go, mm-hmm. right? We trained him up to be a victim when he was at the airport.
This is no different.
This is no different at all. But instead of lying down with your intestines out, although for extra money, you can do that in Vegas too. You can do anything in Vegas.
Do whatever you want.
But yeah, I feel like this is here's what this feels like. Ben's first prom meets disaster at the airport, and we're slamming them together.
Yes.
That's how
Vegas.
I see it.
That's Vegas, baby.
That's Vegas. All right. Woo! Let's Vegas up producer Ben as he gets ready to go to Las Vegas.
Claire and Eric can't agree.
All right.
So it's up to you. It's Jury in a Hurry on Z102.9.
From the Morning Scramble Z-mail inbox, we have scramble@kzia.com. Today's case.
From the mailbag, from listener Jamie, she writes, "Hey, Jury in a Hurry idea. Not sure if this one's been done before. Tipping at places that don't have a wait staff. For example, like a Subway, a Jimmy John's, a Crumble Cookie, etc. Lots of food places now make the customer choose a tip amount when you're paying. Not arguing that these employees couldn't use the extra income, likely not making a livable wage, but definitely at least minimum wage. But tipping wait staff in restaurants is because they make way less than minimum wage, and their tips help their hourly wage. I tend to tip regardless, but my husband really struggles with it. What do other people think?"
What's her name?
Jamie.
I'm on team Jamie, partly because we had to draw sides here. Because we...
but at this place, yeah, but over here...
See,
no,
yes, that's the tough part about this debate is I've said yes to this before. No problem. Of course I'll tip on a very quick purchase.
I'm with
grabbing
you.
Grabbing a donut, right?
Mm-hmm.
Grabbing a cup of coffee from a local coffee shop. But then there's other times like, no, I'm not getting... You're getting me a burger and fries... That's kind of your job.
Yeah.
All you have to do is match the number that I'm waiting for to the bag that someone else. I maybe want the tip to go to the person who's putting the bag together.
That'd be
more
nice.
Than the person that checked me out, right?
But you're yes.
It's tip. But coming out of, I worked in food service in high school. Tips are nice. I do think specifically we're talking, this is that gray area. I'm at a local establishment, a local deli, a local coffee shop. Where they're not serving me at a table, but I just, and usually 9 times out of 10, I'm only buying for myself. Rarely, Shannon and I have such odd food hours that I'm not picking up a couple of things. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't bug me from a cost standpoint. I bet you on the other side, usually you're getting something for the whole family, and that adds to the cost.
Part B.
Yes, 20% of a larger order.
Yes.
Also, I think it's a thankless job, and I think it's just a nice human thing to do. I also just have a feeling at some point that day, they're probably going to have to put up with a jerk, and maybe I can bring them sunshine.
You're going to balance out the karma?
Exactly.
Wow.
Now, sometimes, not that I'm the jerk, but sometimes I'm in full... Why did you look at the camera and nod when I said I'm not the jerk?
I didn't think you're going to notice. Go ahead.
I noticed all of it. No, but, and this has happened when you and I go out a lot, is we're chatty. We're two radio goofballs.
Gregarious.
We're gregarious. And I'm like, crap, you got to deal with that. Mm. Here's another buck or two. So,
yeah.
I mean, they've made it easier. I don't have to have cash anymore. I would like throw a dollar or something into the cup.
Right.
Now it's just digital. So all in all, I would say I predominantly do. Yes, I tip at fast food places without wait staff. I just think it's the right thing to do.
I say no. And for very similar reasons. Yes, they do ask. And just because they ask doesn't mean you have to. I think that that's just become a very like part of the program. It's just a basic package that restaurants, even fast food places, can just get. And then it's built in to ask, do you want to tip? And that's not an appropriate place to ask for a tip. Okay.
No, it feels like they're forcing it in front of you.
Yeah.
And they're usually giving you a number that starts at 18%.
Right.
Which is a lot.
As somebody, part B, for me, if I'm getting four sandwiches for my whole family, how is that fair? I'm paying more, and that's, I don't want to do that because I shouldn't have to. You weren't going above and beyond. The tip is supposed to be because of the level of service that you're providing. But if you're just providing a basic function.
The thing of what you are doing, right?
Which you are getting paid to do at either minimum wage or above. I don't see the reason. I don't see the need behind the tip. So in that case, no, I would not be tipping you.
I just Shannon was out of town last weekend. I went to a restaurant, like a breakfast place. But they have a breakfast bar, right? So I'm sitting there. They are taking my order, and she's walking from the kitchen to me, which is 2 feet. Should I have tipped that? It's almost the same thing.
But you were sitting. Is it a matter of if I am
so
sitting?
So what am I tipping? Am I tipping you walking a further distance to my table and writing something down? I know it's a different job classification, so she's technically not making the same amount of money. But I think it's so confusing and so gray. I think it's just simpler to say, yeah. Even if it's just a quarter, right?
No.
Just help them out.
No. I think there's definitely, we got to draw a line in the sand here. No, I'm not tipping at a fast food joint.
Who's going to win their case today? Claire or Eric? Jury in a Hurry on Z102.9.
Hey, thanks for calling Jury in a Hurry. Tipping at a fast food place without wait staff. Yes or no?
No.
No,
he's not going to take it. No.
That's kind of the attitude, too. You feel like they're forcing it on you, right?
Exactly.
Stop asking.
Yes. Yeah.
Hi, Jury in a Hurry. Are you tipping at a fast food place without wait staff?
No, I'm with Claire. Don't tip. You have to earn that.
Right. I'm drawing a line in the sand here, people.
That's what the definition of it is. I don't disagree with that. But I think if it's a local place, you can help somebody out. Maybe that might go a little bit further. Hi, Jury in a Hurry. Do you tip at fast food places without wait staff? Yes or no?
I am team Claire. No, they get a full wage and I shouldn't feel obligated to tip someone that's getting a full wage. I like that it's an option, but they shouldn't be forcing it on you they are.
Guilt me
into it.
That's true. Yeah.
That should be another argument. Why are they forcing it on us, right?
They're forcing me.
Hi, Jury in a Hurry. Are you tipping at fast food places without wait staff? Yes or no?
I tip for customer service. So if it's fast food and they're really polite, I tip. If they're rude, I do not tip.
Okay. Just for a mercy vote, may I take one?
I think that's a yes.
I'll take that one. Thank you for your call, Jer. Hey, Jury in a Hurry, talking about tipping at places without wait staff. Yes or no?
I say no. Most of the time they reach around and push the skip button anyways.
That is true. There are places that also realize it's the management's making it happen.
I'm telling you, it's just a program, and the program is just, I have to ask.
Built in the machine.
I know we don't need one.
All right. Thank you for your vote. This is one of those where the good news is I'm going to lose. I'm not overly concerned by it.
Good news.
I would like to at least get a couple more.
Is there any, okay. If you agree with Eric that yes.
Yes votes only?
Yes votes only.
maybe this person heard our plea. Hi, jury in a hurry. Are you tipping at places that do not have wait staff?
No, that's they're doing their job, and I've heard sometimes that tip money goes to the owner.
Whoa.
Oh, I like this. This is tip sleaze.
It's sleazy tip money. Thank you for calling in. That just made it.
Guess what I heard? Heard it from a friend.
Let's see what this friend has to say.
Hi, friend.
Jury in a hurry. Are you tipping at fast food places without wait staff? Yes or no?
No. Here's why.
Here's why.
When you go to Walmart or you go to Hy-Vee or Fairway and you get an actual live person cashiering, they're working weird hours. They're working with people they don't want to deal with. And do you tip them?
No, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Using my exact words against me.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Although I'd put out the claim for let's get yeses. Let's just call it.
I think that the people have spoken.
The boat's tipping over to the no side.
You're not going
to
win this one.
I'm already in the water.
Sorry.
Waking you up with the morning scramble on Z102.9.
Are you getting our guest all situated?
Yeah, he's situated.
He's all situated.
I'm ready.
I think we're just going to dive in, right?
Yes.
Let's talk movies.
There's so much to talk about going into the big weekend this weekend with the Oscars on Sunday on ABC. And we've got our own Iowa expert on the scene from Film Scene, Andrew Sherburn. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Andrew, you were well connected to the Oscar scene last year. I think we had three connections. Remind me. The Whale?
Yeah, we had The Whale. Samuel Hunter, who was the screenwriter.
Did we have something with a Marvel's movie, maybe, last year? Russo Brothers?
Yeah, that's a throwback to Joe Russo, Iowa grad, who was director of the Avengers. Lots of Avengers movies.
It's fascinating, though, to hear those connections that you maybe don't think about, but it's like those are all pivotal roles in the whole industry. So,
and we got one Hawkeye kind of connected to the Oscars this year.
Yeah, that's right. Mark Johnson is the producer of The Holdovers. And so, you know, again, when you're talking about like Iowa connections to Hollywood, kind of people behind the scenes oftentimes, there's a lot of screenwriters out there from Iowa.
Well, Iowa
producers.
Writers Workshop. Hello.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we're telling the stories that we see on screen. Maybe not always the flashiest folks, but, you know, that's very Iowa, right?
As you're plugged into that community, does Iowa have a reputation of producing that top-notch talent, or do they just kind of work up through the system, like the minor league, the farm system, like everybody else does?
No, Iowa absolutely has a reputation. I mean, you talked about the Writers' Workshop.
Right.
And there's a lot of people, you know, coming out of Iowa, whether it's the Writers' Workshop or the Cinematic Arts Department, who are interested in storytelling, who are finding their way through the maze that is Hollywood. But I think, the storytellers especially. I mean, Iowa is, it's got that rich, rich history. And so I think that's our role that we've carved out.
I always think it's interesting going into award season where there's movies that like they caught our attention for sure, right? We got the flashy movies, and then there's more like maybe art house movies that are going to make you think or feel.
Yeah.
Where's your gut this year? Like, is there a movie that you think is going to do really well, or something that maybe people are overlooking right now?
I think this is a fun Oscar year. I think because you get those big movies. You got Barbie and Oppenheimer, which are that was the biggest story in the movies in years. So you've got those two movies with tons of nominations, but you've also got like this really amazing list of smaller films, very international, very diverse, very, you know, lots of different stories being told, Zone of Interest, Anatomy of a Fall, Past Lives. Who's going to win? I mean, I think, I think the big awards, Oppenheimer's been cleaning up. I think it's their year.
And in your, like, your gut's telling you, like, you're team Oppenheimer.
I don't know if I'm team Oppenheimer. I mean, I do think it was really a great film. I mean, it's an original vision from like one of Hollywood's, most reliable, directors.
Christopher Nolan's good.
Yeah.
You know, he produces good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, one of those directors where people know his name, and people don't always know the director's names, but that's one where people will show up. They're like, okay, whatever he's making, I'm going to go check that out. So, you know, it's, he's making really audacious, films at that level, you know, the big budget film. So, you know, it's a deserving film. I don't know if it's my choice, but
Maybe we'll get into that here in a second. Our guest is Andrew Sherburn with Film Scene in Iowa City. Do you think it's interesting that Margot Robbie was overlooked for Barbie, as well as, I just forgot the director's name.
Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's Barbie obviously is a celebration of femininity, so the fact that the female director and the lead are not nominated, a little bit ironic there.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
But, you know, Ryan Gosling was, you know, very, very good in that. I mean, he was a riot.
It was a lot of fun.
But yes, I think, you know, Greta Gerwig has had an amazing career. Her three films that she's directed.
All nominated,
her first
right?
three, all nominated, yeah. Which is like really, really quite amazing. It's very hard to do. But I'm a bit surprised she didn't get a nod.
So you were hinting at who you would pick for Best Picture. So we need to go through that, maybe make some picks there. There's always some random categories. I'm curious for a guy who's like in the business, what are ones maybe that you normally ignore, maybe we should keep an eye out for? And then you're also running your own award show through Film Scene.
Well, yeah, we do something called the Foscars, the Film Scene Oscars. So much creativity went into that name.
Wow.
I think the creativity goes into the categories. So we kind of dispense with the traditional Hollywood categories. And so we've got categories for best on-screen chemistry. We've got something called the Holy Award, which I don't know what I can say. Do you guys have a bleep?
No,
do you have
a buzz? No.
Okay, all right, great.
Please don't. Self-edit.
So for the most like jaw-dropping film that you see in the year, so our awards are you know, a little bit more fun, I think. We're having fun with it.
The play it again, like a movie that you want to watch over and over.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great category.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So that goes, so most of them, it's all films that we played at Film Scene. We play 500 movies a year, which is a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. and so that play it again is like, we do a lot of classics screening. So that's, you know, what was your favorite classic film this year that we played? So that's where
fun.
That one comes from. Yeah.
It helps you know to bring it back next year.
Yeah,
year
exactly.
After, year
right.
After,
yeah. Yes. Like, what are people really into?
But let's get back to that category that maybe, like, I think everybody, there's always buzz about best actor, best actress, and best picture. Like, mm-hmm, those are like the mains. But what's something interesting that you kind of like to keep an eye on?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I think the screenwriting is kind of interesting. I mean, we were talking about Iowa's role in the screenwriting.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's best original screenplay, best adapted screenplay.
That's always hard. It's like with the Grammys, like who wrote it and who...
Yeah, yeah. And what's an adaptation?
Influence?
Yeah.
What was adapted?
So Barbie's up for adapted screenplay, right? Because it's
adapted
from a doll. But
the concept existed
there's original material there, right?
There's a framework that you have to work within. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So that,
that's kind of an interesting one as we kind of look at, and sometimes that's like a precursor to, you know, like people who will be telling great stories for years. So that's kind of fun.
I'm sure once that's on your shelf and you're a writer, you're getting a lot more, people are taking your phone calls.
Oh yeah.
A lot faster than they were before.
You're being taken very seriously. Yes.
So like this year, American Fiction might win. And that's a film from a first time writer director that did really well this year. And people, you know, laughed a lot at that film. And it also was kind of touching. So that's one where, you know, I think that's an up and coming artist there, Cord Jefferson.
Still plenty to talk about as Oscars 2024 coming up this Sunday on ABC. Our in-house in-state expert is Andrew Sherburn from Film Scene in Iowa City. We'll continue our conversation with him. More to come. It's the Morning Scramble on Z102.9.
It's the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble.
Z102.9.
Hollywood.
Oh, the glitz and the glamour and the stars are going to be out to shine Sunday for the Oscars, which will be a little bit earlier than usual.
7 Eastern, 6 Central, which it always goes late. So why not start it an hour early?
I mean,
right?
Yeah. I appreciate that so much.
Does that impact Andrew Sherburn from Film Scenes joining us this morning? So you got your big like blue carpet event.
Yeah.
So you'll have to bump that up an hour?
We actually start an hour before the Oscars. So if you want to watch the red carpet stuff, you can come watch that.
Oh, fun.
That's nice.
It's Blue Carpet Bash. We've been doing it for years.
Is that in
free.
The Chauncey location?
It's at the Chauncey location. So we put it on all our screens. We've got three screens there. We'll put it on all our screens because we'll have, you know, a couple hundred people there. It's totally free. So if people want to come hang out with us, if they love movies, we'll be having contests, ballots,
and it's
prizes.
Okay to like talk and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. This is
encouraged.
Shh, they're handing out best costumes. Shh,
I really want to hear this speech.
I've got a bingo card whether or not they think a parent. Yeah, no,
yes,
I'm joking.
Yes.
Claire had a story, interestingly, yesterday or a couple days ago in Z Sleaze.
Yesterday.
When Ellen took that iconic selfie with Bradley Cooper.
2014 Oscars. You remember clearly.
the New York Post has gone and looked at every person in that picture and whether or not they've had a great career or not. And it seems like it's cursed. And the one name that keeps coming up is poor Bradley Cooper.
Oh, poor Bradley.
Bradley Cooper has scored zero.
Is he like the
Oscars.
New Meryl Streep? Like he keeps getting nominated.
12 nominations, yes. Zero wins.
Do you see Maestro doing anything?
I don't think he's going to win today.
I don't either. I think
he's trying really hard. He's doing all the appearances. He's talking about it nonstop. And it's kind of both a little, at times cringy, at times kind of charming. He's like...
to be kind of the poor loser. But it's, like, as you're saying, too, there's still some politicking. You still have kind of, you want to be elected. You want, because there's a voting committee.
Politics?
Comes down to votes and ads and going on all the talk shows.
Millions and millions of dollars spent on these Oscar campaigns. But it comes down to, a lot of it is, you know, handshakes. These people all know each other. A lot of them know each other. And so it's, you know, asking your friends to vote for you, kind of.
So, and maybe it is kind of like...
You can't ask directly, but...
No, that's it's frowned
upon. The long way around, yeah.
But maybe it is kind of like a Leonardo DiCaprio story where it's like, well, always nominated, never wins.
Yeah.
Is it a better story?
Yeah, I mean, he's still young. He's got...
Yeah, he's got time. He's got time.
We were looking over, so we got the ballot in front of us, and I'm guessing most of these movies come out usually in the summer or fall. I always feel like you could tell when it's Oscar season because that, like, the trailer for a movie you've never heard.
Like a thinky one.
It's a thinky one. Can you ever think of a time where, like, a springtime movie makes it into the Oscar buzz, or was there one maybe that came out too early last year that should be on this list?
Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes it happens. You know, some bigger films pop in the spring and they'll get, like, maybe an Oscar nom or two. But, I was just saying this year, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret? I loved that film. I thought it was terrific. Rachel McAdams probably should have got a nomination.
That makes me mad because I kind of forgot that movie existed. And I was like, I really need to see
that. And I think that's the problem.
That's the problem.
That's part of the game, too. The studios have to realize when to release that stuff.
Right. We just opened Dune 2 this last week.
Yeah.
So it's before, but it's eligible for next year's Oscars. So, you know, it's a year from now. People will probably.
That might get some special effects.
Oh, for sure.
Dune would?
That's a big enough movie.
Yes.
But I think if you're a smaller film, like Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, I think, you know, it's really tough.
Well, like you said, politicking and that having a campaign costs money.
Yeah. Can you keep it up for that many months? No. That's why those films all release in the fall usually.
Interesting.
And there's that award season.
Andrew, you're showing us the greedy underbelly of Hollywood. Oh, I had no idea.
Surprise, surprise.
Andrew Sherburn with Film Scene in Iowa City. So we got to know you last year talking about the Iowa connection to the Oscars.
Yeah.
There's really just one this year, the holdovers, which is up for Best Picture. Before we get to your official vote, anything on this list you're like, maybe you didn't hear enough about it, but you need to go see?
Sure. Well, I mean, if you didn't see the holdovers, check that one out. The Best Picture nominees this year, there's a lot of fun ones. There's a lot of laughter in there. That's not always the case
it's
with
a little bit
the Academy.
Lighter.
So, you know, the holdovers, Poor Things is pretty outrageous. If you haven't seen that movie, see that movie on a big screen. American Fiction, also very funny.
I know, I'm kicking myself.
I think there's a lot of those funny ones. And then there are those thinky movies that you said, Past Lives, Anatomy of a Fall, quiet movies, but really, really good. Really good movies.
There are so many. It's like, oh, I need to see that. I need to see that. And it's hard to kind of keep up, especially what do you feel like with a field of 10 movies? Is it a lot for even you? It's a lot for me.
To see all of them?
Yeah.
I try to see all
it's
of them.
It's his job.
I try.
The wrong person to ask. But
it's still a. I haven't seen every nominee. I've seen most of them in most of these categories, but no, I haven't seen.
I have a friend in Iowa City, and thank goodness you're there because you will play stuff other big theaters won't.
Yes. Yeah.
Where he prints off the ballot and he tries to see everything.
Yep.
That's hard
to
do.
He does as best as he can. Okay, moment of truth. Best Picture. Is it Oppenheimer's to lose, or do you think there's a dark horse in there?
Oh, man. I can't see anything but Oppenheimer winning that.
Really?
It's just, you watch there's all these award shows that lead up to the Oscars, and it's kind of cleaning house. I think Oppenheimer and Nolan, they've got it. I'd be very surprised if they didn't.
You heard it on the Morning Scramble, folks.
Who would you vote for?
I think Poor Things.
Really?
Yeah. I think I would go. I don't know.
It made Eric uncomfortable.
It's an uncomfortable movie.
It's salt burn. Yes, it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
For sure.
It's salt burn.
It's there. And you haven't seen it yet.
I have not.
I told you you'd like it, but I had to prep you for it.
Well, but I watched Salt Burn first, and I was like, I don't need more of that.
You prepped me for that.
I anymore.
That's for sure. And one more time, if people want to pop in and enjoy your blue carpet event.
Yeah, that's you can come in early, but as you mentioned, the Oscars start a bit earlier this year. So 6 o'clock is the official Oscar start time. Show up early, grab a ballot. We're doing a contest. You could win prizes if you're the best prognosticator.
Are we dressing up?
You can do whatever you want. As we say, if you want to dress, I'll be wearing a suit. But if you want to come in your pajamas, you can do that.
Bring a blanket. Yeah.
I love it. Andrew Sherburn from Film Scene in Iowa City. Thank you so much for kind of keeping us connected what's going on in Hollywood.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.